Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and you know what's rolling right now? The Memphis Grizzlies. We are all rolling with the Grizzlies. 10 in a row. What? Yes, 10 in a row. Doesn't matter who it is. John Martin. Can be Phoenix. Can be Brooklyn. Can be the Lakers. It just doesn't matter who you put in front of these Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant. They will knock them down, and they did it to the Golden State Warriors last night. You come in here, you're going to have to answer to something. And right now, you're having to answer to an MVP candidate. Yes, candidate in Ja Morant. And who had to do the answering? Who had to do it even though he had a triple-double, John? Who had to answer?
Who was it?
Steph Curry had to answer. The Memphis Grizzlies find a way. And this has become an old hat. 116-108 over the Golden State Warriors. No, this is no fluke stuff here. They're knocking off the best teams in the league, and all of a sudden, you look up, John, and they're closer to one than five is to them. They're tied, essentially, with Utah in three in the West. What? 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 It was just supposed to be ahead of schedule. It was just supposed to be a nice little story. But, John, it feels like the Grizzlies are truly contenders, and it feels like the rest of the country is acknowledging just that. Did you see Stephen A. Smith? You see him apologizing?
Apologize.
You see Magic Johnson calling Ja the most exciting player in the league?
Mm.
Like, it's all happening right here, and it's happening in Memphis, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, we feel so fortunate. We feel so fortunate.
The Memphis Grizzlies have reclassified.
Big 12.
Much like Amani Bates. They have joined the program early.
You ain't lying.
They have reclassified, and it's starting to feel like, remember when LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade all joined up there in Miami?
Yeah, I remember.
And they had that like preseason party or whatever it was, and they said not one, not two, not three.
They sure did have that.
Like, that's how this Grizzlies run feels. It's incredible. As an organization, they have made the difficult choice to never lose again.
That's hard to do.
And the rest of the league is complying. You know, they are obliging the Memphis Grizzlies right now as they have now won 10 in a row.
Don't make any sense.
In third in the West. Ja Morant's star continues to rise. And they get yet another complete performance from, you know, the depth, right? The depth of this team.
Correct.
You know, and I know a lot of people were worried, you know, was I able to watch the game? Of course I was able to watch the game. I have my ways. I have my methods. You can't keep a brother down. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's just time to pay up.
No, you see,
maybe they deserve that for you to pay up.
Not going
to
spend my money, but we found a way.
Okay, well, we're glad you managed to watch.
Much like the Grizz continue to find ways to win. What a night inside FedEx Forum. What a night in the basketball capital of the world, Memphis, Tennessee. Here's what we are going to do today. Mark Giannotto is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about this run. Really, and how far? How far are you willing to go, right?
How big you want to dream?
Yeah.
Today.
And I'm talking about not tomorrow, not next year, right now. How far are you willing to go with this Grizzlies team? We'll ask Mark Giannotto that question. And then at round 125, we're going to talk to Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN. Get his thoughts on this Grizzlies run. Ask him the same question.
The national perspective.
What is a realistic goal for this Grizzlies team that, again, refuses to lose? So we'll get into all of that with Brian Windhorst at 125. So that is the show today. You know, it's just it's one of those runs where, you know, look, if we you know, you and I, lifelong Memphians, like, it's up there. It's up there in terms of regular season runs for a team in Memphis. I mean,
Harrington talked about the season the Grizzlies started 20-4 and knocked off Golden State to get there. And
right.
Golden State. I mean, so we've seen
right.
a stretch like this.
Yeah.
But you and I agreed yesterday when we were talking to Jeff.
Yes.
During the hit, that there's a difference here.
There is. There's an electricity to this run that's happening.
And
right
maybe
now.
Maybe a type of dreaming.
Yes.
That you couldn't even do then with the core four in terms of what it could be, potentially what it could do.
Well,
there's a difference.
You know, there was always like this feeling, you know, and I'm trying to revise history here, but there was always this feeling like there were just, you know, whoever it was ahead of you, they had the superstar power to where they would be able to move past, you know, and I think that is gone. That feeling of, oh, well, you know, we're better than some of our parts. We don't have any stars, but that's gone. Because they have multiple, perhaps. They have one superstar. And Ja's been a superstar since he was a rookie, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I was willing to say that really the day they drafted him.
And that's the biggest difference.
Yeah.
It's as great as those guys were, and it was some of your parts, really.
It was.
Ja, it's different with Ja.
But it's also.
You're talking about watching a superstar.
Like, elements of that are still.
Transcend everything.
Like, they're a ridiculously close-knit locker room, right?
100%.
Like,
the depth, John.
Just
yes.
like that Grizzlies team was. Like, that was what made it great. I mean, they were skilled in some ways, but they were close, and that mattered. But the Grizzlies have this version of it has what that one didn't, which is that ability to put the ball in a guy's hands and say, go win this game.
Right.
And look, he did. I mean, he made that layup there at the end. You know, he had that floater, right? I think that made it a two-possession game there late in the fourth quarter. He's hit shots like that, you know, countless times this season.
5 points in the last minute to close it out.
And he going back to last season, that's what he was doing, right? When you think about that, wasn't it at one point he was like the best scorer in the fourth quarter in the NBA last season at the end? I mean, it was something like that. I mean, that's how they made their run. To get to the playoffs and out of the play-in situation. So, you know, it just feels like this is an aircraft, man. And it's, I mean, ding.
You know, you could sit here and have a conversation about when the Grizzlies could be really in the mix because they're clearly contenders. You're top four in the West. You're a contender. But I'm talking about for real. We could do that if you wanted to. What year will they win a championship? Because it feels like you've got the sort of superstar power and the depth eventually to get there. But it'd almost be like not enjoying what you've got right now, which is this chance, John Martin. Here's the difference. With the core four, it was, look, NBA, accept us.
Right.
We've got a style that works, too, even though it goes against the grain of the rest of the NBA. With this, it's literally, look at the rest of the country caught up in this.
Yes.
Like, did you see Stephen A. Smith apologizing to the franchise?
Which he should, yes.
For basically sleeping on him.
Yes. No, I made this point. Like,
that's the part about it that you got to revel in right now is watching the rest of the country come to this acknowledgement that they
yes.
never really gave core four, right? It was sort of, oh, that's a nice little thing you got there, but it doesn't fit in our league.
Yes.
It's not what you're going to see in the Sports Center top 10 every night. It's not the highlights we want to lead off with.
Yes.
John, I'm watching today, they're leading off First Take with it
yes.
in terms of the excitement level of Ja Morant. This is the NBA,
no,
and you've got a star that can go up against anybody right now. Watching the rest of the country figure that out has been the part that we can get caught up in where this team should go and how do you go all in, trade deadline, all that.
Yep.
But that right now is the most exciting part to me, is seeing everybody else catch up. And it's the reason why, John, I feel like nationally Ja Morant maybe can make this push to get to, you know, all-star starter, all of that. But there's so much to consider here.
Part of what is making this so special is that Memphis sports as a collective, if we're just taking the totality of it, right, and I'm throwing Memphis Tiger basketball in there as well, it's never been accepted, right? Even those great Memphis Tiger basketball teams, they were party crashers. Dana Kirk, you know, NCAA thing, like the vacating final. Like, you were always an outsider. You were always perceived as, you're here, but you don't belong.
Yeah, you're not a blue blood.
You don't fit.
I wonder how much you want to be one.
The Grizzlies, when they made that Western Conference Finals run in 2013, same thing. You were a party crasher. You didn't have the star. You didn't have LeBron. You didn't have, you know, you were, you know, new kid on the block, and you had Zach Randolph, who was jettisoned from however many different franchises. You were a party crasher. Well, now you go from not being accepted to you're at the front of the VIP line. Like, you're who people come to see.
Exactly. You're the attraction.
So this is a brand new role for the city of Memphis, quite frankly. This is unprecedented. Never have we had a team, never have we had a star in their moment that has been as magnetic as Ja Morant.
And it's almost, you and I were talking about this before the show. Drew Hill tweeted about it, others did. Then Jeff Calkins asked Ja Morant about it after the game. But the interaction that he has with the young fan who's wearing the Golden State uniform, right? In the past, we know that. You know, it's the other team. You come in here to root for Steph.
Yep.
You come in here to root for LeBron, and those Lakers fans or Golden State fans are in here, and it's just as much theirs, right, as it is yours and your Memphis Grizzlies. But last night, what did Ja do that we all love so much? He didn't dap the kid up. And afterwards, yes. it's like, bruh, around here now that you have a superstar, that is disrespectful.
Yes.
To wear the other jersey. Yes. And you know, maybe in some other, you know, time or whatever, when it's not Ja Morant, we say, well, man, it's a kid, whatever else. How much of us love that?
Exactly.
Ja Morant telling that kid that it's disrespectful when you got a superstar and you got 12 up in here saving the day, giving you the win. And I can tell you want to root for it because you're up looking at me. You want to high-five me. But, brother, you got to get the jersey off. This ain't about Golden State anymore and about the teams you want to root for, the superstars, because you've got it right here. And it was all sort of symbolized in that, in just that interaction last night, that, guys, you don't have to root for the other teams with the superstars anymore because you got it right here. And, my gosh, look at how ahead of schedule doesn't even apply anymore. Because that has the sense that you still got more work to do. And you clearly do to win a title.
Yes.
But look at how close you are right now with just the development, with just on hitting on draft picks. John, I'll be honest with you. And people know this that listen to us closely. That Zaire Williams pick, I said, what?
Well, I think we all three on the show did.
Come
right?
on. I mean, like, as a city, I think a lot of us did. Much in the way that as a city, a lot of
because,
us
because I mean with
did on Jaren.
Moses but, Moody was out there.
Yeah.
James Booknight was out. I mean, there were.
You can go up and down the list.
Right.
But at that point, it was, I ain't seeing front office, and right. He's saying it's going to take time. You've been so great at getting rookies that are contributing immediately. A lot of us criticized it. I was one of them. You are seeing signs now with this kid playing with this confidence. I tell you right now, I bet a lot of us just playing with Ja Morant because there's a swagger to it.
There is.
He's a different-looking player. Now he's looking like – this is what it feels like, John. You know how with Golden State, when they're hitting on all those picks, right, and eventually it starts coming together and starting to look like something that could be special. Or OKC. When they get Durant and Westbrook and Harden, and let's not be them because look what came out of that. You know, they didn't finish it off the right way. But it feels like that where you can start pointing around, looking at the depth of this team, and you can start seeing the guys that are going to be part of possibly, John, being a contender for years and years. I don't see what's there to stop it with the way they've drafted, right, with how fast Ja Morant is transcending the superstar level. Jaren Jackson defensively is elite.
Yes.
You see the difference he made in the fourth quarter when he was on the floor.
Yeah.
As much a game ender as Ja Morant was with the 5 points in the last minute, he was critical. You can start seeing the pieces of something special, a young unit that looks like it's going to be, you know, on the radar and maybe the biggest blip for years to come.
I thought that was such an important moment with the kid because, you know, and we're just sort of comparing this – iteration of the Grizzlies to the other one we hold up, right? Because I think it's a natural thing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about this before the show, like Ja sort of setting the terms of engagement in the way he did, right? The way that, like, he has such an edge to him that I think as a community, we respond to and relate to so well. Because it's the flashiness, right? It's the dazzling plays. Like, the way that when that dude is in the open court, like, you almost stop breathing because you just know something incredible might be about to happen.
The way he's surgical with that left hand, he's right-handed, but you wouldn't know.
It's the combination of that with his edge, right?
Yes.
That, again, this franchise has never seen. And he's willing to get in the face, right, and stare down a 7-year-old kid's got a warrior. He's willing to lay those terms of it. Like, you're in my building. I am a face of the NBA, and this is how it's going to be in my house.
Right.
Like, that's just, like, how do you not love that? And that's why I think you see around the, you know, like, again, those other Grizzlies were you could appreciate them if you really loved the game.
But
many people did.
Mike Conley wouldn't have told that kid.
No chance.
You can't wear the Golden State stuff up in here.
No chance.
And again, that's Mike Conley. You want your gentleman. That's what he was,
yes.
Right? Didn't go off on the refs, all that stuff we've taught him. But that's how different it is. But look, different in a good way, in the sense that this is what goes viral.
Yes.
Right? This is what the league wants to see.
Yes.
This is why you are one of the key attractions right now. Because Ja don't care.
No, he does not.
All he cares about is winning and those teammates and making them better. And gosh, for a basketball town that's been, you know, as passionate as this one is, but let's be real, it's been starved for whether it's the superstar to lead you to the championship or the championship itself. It's so deserved, right, for Memphis to have something like this and to be on the ground floor of it, like it feels like we are.
Absolutely.
Here in Memphis.
Yep.
It is so deserved. With what this city's been through with its basketball teams.
But you didn't have,
right,
to wait.
To
That's the crazy part.
This.
You didn't have to wait like 8 years for, you know what I mean? Like, it just kind of happened. Like, they drafted Ja, and I guess if you want to say, like, going through the last years of Mark and Mike, those were tough, like 16 through 19. But the minute they drafted Ja, does it not feel like this thing flipped overnight? I mean, it kind of did.
Well, it did. It's like what Tony Jones from The Athletic saying that that's the only pick they sort of lucked into. And you have to have some of that to get something special. Let's be real. Like, who was it? A Bowie that Portland took,
yes,
passed up on Michael Jordan? Like, something crazy has to happen. And in this case, guys, I'll be honest with you. Here's the crazy. The crazy is it looks like it was better to be the number two pick that year. Because if you were number one – and you were the Memphis Grizzlies,
that's right,
you had to take Zion Williamson.
You would have had
no choice whatsoever because he had the LeBron sort of mantle. This is the next guy that's going to change everything. You'd have been stuck in that spot. It took that. It took getting two to get to Ja, that stroke of luck to get here. Because where would we be right now? Boy, there'd have been a ton of adulation there at the beginning of it. You'd have Zion not playing. You wouldn't know where this thing's going.
We'd been saying, this is just Memphis sports luck.
Ja changed everything, clearly. And then you've got a front office that's hitting on basically every draft pick that it puts in, that it turns, any card that it turns in.
Yeah. And now it really, I mean, look, it was Ja. It was Tyus Jones last night. Jaren had a double-double and had some good plays defensively
Monster
last night.
Monster fourth quarter, yes.
Zaire, you mentioned, hit some big shots as well.
17 for him.
I mean, like, that was a game where, you know, the end of the half.
And you're missing, what, two starters?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no Dylan Brooks?
Yeah.
No Steven Adams wasn't playing?
Yeah. But the end of the half, you know, Clay hits that three, should have been out of bounds on the Warriors. He hits that three.
Yes.
Like, you're feeling like, all right, you know, this is probably where it turned. And it did. That, to me, is the impressive thing about it, is, like, you could feel that coming by the Warriors because that's what they do.
The game flipping and them taking over.
But the Grizz punched back. Without Dylan Brooks, without Steven Adams, and it was, you know, a combination of three to four different guys, right? Tyus Jones in two threes there late. You know, there's a real moxie on this team, which is weird because they're young. It's a young team. Like, you don't just – but they have this sort of veteran-esque presence about them. They're just, like, they're mature for their age in that way. And that's why they're able to win games like that. Look, I'll be interested. You know, I think the next sort of conversation is, to me, you saw last night, the Warriors, at least in the first half, they were very perturbed by how bad the Grizzlies wanted to win. You know, I think
I mean, you got that frustration from the Lakers. You saw it from Brooklyn, I think, a few nights ago. All those contenders.
You know,
it comes in the form of Booker stepping over Desmond Bane toward the end of that game where you were able to knock off Phoenix. You know, as sort of get back in your place.
Yes.
And when they're out playing you, it frustrates the hell out of these contender teams. They're supposed to say, "Oh, you guys, this isn't your time right now."
Right.
Yes.
So I think the next piece is
it comes out of that.
Is that something that because we don't know, right? I mean, all we have in terms of their postseason is what they did in the playoffs last year against a pretty loaded Jazz team, and so I'll be interested sort of to see. Is that something that sustains, right? Is that intensity something that sustains and is still greater than the opponent in the postseason? Or is this a regular season sort of mechanism? That to me is the next question. But in terms of this regular season, you know, that's why I feel like there might not be this big reversion or swoon because the Grizzlies do care about winning more than most teams in the regular season, and so they'll probably keep doing it for the most part.
Well, it's not just the want to. You've been the best team defensively since late November in the league.
Yep.
You're already top 10 offensively. And keep in mind, this is no fluke. You were seventh defensively last year with Ja Morant up at the top. And so it's also what you're doing in terms of the X and O's and the basketball you're playing, not just the believe we can do it.
It's
the way it's coming together on the floor. Again, you've got the opportunity, much like a Utah or a Phoenix or a Milwaukee, to be top 10 in both. With everything, and we talked about it, this team at one point is 30th in the league defensively.
Yep.
They've fixed that now over the last couple of months and been the best. And so not just that, you've been at the top in terms of offensive rebounding since late November. It's one of the keys. Paint scoring, you're right there, number one, number two in the league. And so from the basketball standpoint, too, you look at it and say, well, Ja Morant's attitude's not going to change. So there's the belief, and that's what's leading you, right? Desmond Bane and Dylan Brooks and that swagger, that's not going to change. But the basketball itself, too, seems so sustainable with how consistent they've been. And, again, you're doing it against opponents who are supposed to be contenders. John's right. Young teams, right, teams that have a nucleus where the center of it are 22 years old, aren't supposed to have the answers when Golden State flips the game and makes a run. You're not supposed to be able to get back into games like that and have the answers. For whatever reason it is, this team, you know, wise beyond its years in terms of that basketball experience and those kinds of things, does have the answers. And, again, is showing they can have them against the best teams in the league.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jason and John Guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
a night last night inside FedEx Forum. Grizzlies keep winning. They refuse to lose. Mark Giannta was there. He's got a column up at commercialco.com about it. Patrick from 2 to 4 today. He joins us now. What up, man?
I'm tired, but it's like a good tired. That was a experience. You know, you get in this business to like, I got in it at least. I love the games. Like, that is my favorite part of the job. And now, on back-to-back occasions that I've been at FedEx Forum, you know, it's been a hell of a game. You know, the Memphis-Cincinnati game on Sunday was great.
That's
right.
It was.
That's right.
And then last night, that was like, that was an experience. That was, you knew going, you know, it was a game where, you know, it felt different than a normal regular season game going in, and then it delivered like a game. You know, it wasn't a playoff game, but it was as good as a regular season NBA game is going to look and feel.
Right.
It was a lot of fun, and it's just, I mean, it's a great story we got on our hands here with the Grizzlies.
Didn't it feel like when Golden State flipped that game, like, say, okay, right? Like, this was, you know, 9 in a row, club record. But this is the, you know, if not the best team in the NBA, one of the two or three best. This is where it all kind of, you see the pecking order of who's the best right now and whose time is still to come. Didn't it feel like that at that point? And then they respond the way they did. I don't know. Would you buy into that?
I don't know if I put that much of a big picture narrative on it. Other than I thought they were due for a loss. They are due for a loss. Like,
yeah,
no teams in the NBA don't go on 10-game winning streaks.
Right.
Like, I asked Jaren, Brandon Clark, and Tyus Jones did their press conference together last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to get out of there, and like, they didn't want to have to, the two who are next didn't want to have to wait. But I was thinking about it, like, all of them, whether it was Tyus at Duke, Jaren at Michigan State, Brandon Clark at Gonzaga, probably went on some form of a 10-game winning streak or something like that while they were in college, you know, because those are great teams.
We know Tyus basically did, right?
I mean, he was on that great Duke. I remember covering that Duke team with Justice Winslow and Jahlil Okafor and there was another really good freshman on that team. Grayson Allen was on the team. I forget who else.
Yeah.
But regardless, but NBA teams just don't do this very often. And, you know, the Grizzlies have never done it as a franchise. And I don't think any of them had really reflected on it that much. And I would guess that's part of the reason why they've gone on the winning streak. And I think it transfers over to what you're talking about. Like, I don't think they think of the other teams in that regard. And they haven't for a while, for a while it was like defiantly, like, you know, Ja would talk as, you know, and a lot of these guys would talk as if they were, you know, already on the same level as some of these other teams and that people just weren't recognizing it. And whether they were right or wrong, I think that attitude has helped propel them to now where they are. Like, they don't have to talk about it. Other people are talking about it. Like, they are in the conversation with all the best teams in the NBA. And in that moment in that game, I don't think they were ever like, they ever thought of it as, well, okay, here comes Golden State, the better team is giving us a body blow and we're gonna wilt. I think they thought of it as, you know, we gotta strike back. And I think that attitude's gonna carry them the rest of the season. And, you know, my question coming out of this is, they're playing amazing right now. It feels like they can't lose. It feels like whatever move they make
is the right one.
Like, I put this on
Zaire on Steph last night.
Like, yeah, Zaire, you
know,
on
who knew it was gonna work out like that?
Yeah, Zaire on Steph Curry. My favorite, I put this on Twitter, my favorite thing from the game was the lineup they closed the game with had literally never been used before in a game this year. And it worked great.
No, it really did. I mean,
like, they outscored.
It was perfect. Yeah,
yeah. It was great because Gary Payton was hounding Ja.
Yep.
And to move him off the ball and bring in another ball handler to create freed up Ja to go do some things on Gary Payton II.
Yep.
And so that's why what I find fascinating about this team is like they've willed this into existence so much earlier than anyone expected, and maybe we probably shouldn't be surprised because they've done it every year in terms of exceeding expectations,
right,
since Ja got here. Every year they've done it, and they've done it again.
I thought it was interesting, though, that you started this conversation, like, immediately by saying you don't want to try to, like, make anything big picture out of that.
Well, because here's what I would say.
But isn't that inevitably, like, the, like, how can you not, in a way?
Well, I think that, I honestly think the, we'll see. Like, I think they could very easily be like the Atlanta Hawks last year and go to the conference finals.
Right.
I also think they could lose in the first round of the playoffs. And it would still, no matter what,
right.
either way it goes, it would be a great season. They're right. like on pace right. to have a great season, a season where they made progress. But, like, ultimately.
People are starting to talk about the Grizzlies as contenders, though.
Yeah, I think they are.
Like, do you think that's a legitimate and should be a legitimate conversation?
Look, you go look in the I think, for instance, if you ask Golden State, who would you rather play in a playoff series, Utah or the Memphis Grizzlies? I think they'd say Utah.
I think you're right.
Yeah, nobody wants to see this team that scraps like the Grizzlies, right? It's like playing that guy at the gym
Right. And there's also an element
going
of
extra
like,
hard.
There's an
he's
element
younger.
Of the Grizzlies. It's like you don't really know them. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're still new on the scene. They're kind of unpredictable.
Let's just be real. No one has figured out how to stop Ja Morant yet.
That's right.
Like that to me in a playoff series, that's really important. Like ultimately, if you're in a close game now, like Golden State stopped Ja Morant for about 4 or 5 minutes. That third when they went on that run,
yep.
part of it was they started trapping him. Gary Payton is a good defender. Like yep. that's typically what teams are going to throw at him. That 6'4", 6'5", guard who can bother him with their length and strength. But it was only 4 or 5 minutes. He figured it out, you know. Like yep. and the Grizzlies figured it out.
Yep.
So. I think they are contenders, but I also think, you know, like if they, like let's say they get in a playoff series with, I'm going to be honest, with the Lakers, if LeBron's healthy and Anthony Davis is healthy, I still think the Lakers would be favored in that series.
They'd be favored because of the two superstars.
Yeah, like
I would
top to bottom.
I don't
though,
know if they'd win,
better.
But I think they'd be.
I've already had this conversation with somebody. I'm putting my mortgage on the Memphis Grizzlies if that happens.
I'm
putting my mortgage on the Memphis Grizzlies. If they get in a series with the Lakers, there is zero doubt in my mind they will beat the probably in six.
I mean, the Grizzlies kind of feel like Denver the past couple years, Atlanta last year, where like, you know, like they've shown a very feasible scenario where they are in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they give Golden State problems. I think Phoenix, I know they beat them the other night, but like I think Phoenix is a worse matchup for Memphis. We've seen Utah, they did beat them when they played them
Donovan.
This year.
Right.
Well, this year. Yes, once.
Yes, but we saw, I mean.
Utah would still be a tough matchup for the Grizz.
But like let's say the Grizzlies are the 4 seed and Dallas is the 5 seed and Golden State's the 1 seed like it is today. Like.
Now, there's not a team like, you feel like.
The Grizzlies could beat Dallas in a 7-game series. I know they got Luka, but, like,
right.
Dallas is not, like,
that's
I like.
That's the problem. That's all they got.
No, I think your
no
point,
depth.
The point
and then
is,
they play Golden State, who, like, I think they match up well with.
Right.
They've shown it. Like, and then, boom, you're in the Western Conference Finals. Like,
there's
it
not
could happen
a team
very easily.
That you would see in the West who you would say, I don't think we can beat them. You would go into any series against any team in the West
mm-hmm.
thinking, hey, this could and you're not ridiculous. Like the Grizzlies yeah. could win a 7-game series against any team in the West.
No, and it's the three teams above them. And then I am curious. One, we're hearing conflicting reports about the Clippers. Chris Haynes reported that Kawhi is ahead of schedule and looks like he's trending towards coming back. We got a report from Bleacher Report today, Jake Fisher, who's reporting that Paul George is actually considering not coming back from this injury
mm-hmm.
to make sure it heals properly. And if that happens, Kawhi Leonard mm-hmm. won't
now
come back, from his
yeah,
injury. And then that mean and that potentially the Clippers could be sellers of everyone but Kawhi and Paul George at the deadline
right.
this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got the Lakers who, you know, I know they look vulnerable. And the Grizzlies have had success against them this year, but we still have not seen LeBron and Anthony Davis when they are either healthy or at least close to healthy, they have not been knocked out of the playoffs yet together. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Last year against Phoenix won that series because Anthony Davis got hurt. I am convinced that if Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, mm-hmm. we're not talking about Phoenix as an NBA finalist. I think they lose that series to the Lakers. So I'm not counting out the Lakers either in the West. Until I'll believe it when I see it when those two get knocked out, because they've never been knocked out when they've been healthy, LeBron and Anthony Davis. But that being said,
I think the rest of that roster sucks. I mean, so badly.
You're right. But they just add, if they can find like a point guard who can make a big shot, some scrap heap, there might be a scrap heap guy out there at the deadline who might make all the difference in the world, where maybe you don't start him, but those games where Russell Westbrook plays terrible, you can bring him in. I don't know who it is, but there might be someone out there. And then if Anthony Davis gets healthy, maybe they can do something. I still, you know, you're right. They're vulnerable, though. I don't think they certainly have a flawed team.
Even when Anthony Davis was playing, like, I just never looked at them and thought, man, they're going to turn this on at some point.
But ultimately, the Grizzlies won last night without Dylan Brooks, without Steven Adams. Desmond Bane shot 3 of 14 from the field.
He was bad by Desmond Bane standards.
Yeah, he was bad. He took some bad shots and was not great.
Yep.
And, you know, without their head coach, with their, you know, this 10-game winning streak has included three coaches who have won games.
Crazy.
It's just, I mean, it's a credit to the roster they've built. I mean, it's unbelievable all the different guys who are playing well. Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, John Conchar doesn't miss threes anymore.
D'Anthony
Melton only played 12 minutes last night.
Yep.
Crazy.
Do you think with the national attention that they're garnering, Stephen A. Smith issuing the apology last night, just all of it? I mean, look, Bobby Marks has got something, NBA.com right now has got something about Ja and why the future is limitless for the Grizzlies. That sort of push, that national acknowledgement will help Ja be a starter in that all-star game or all-NBA team or whatever it is, that the addition of that what's sort of come up and drummed up here lately is going to be enough of a push to have him in that all-star game and starting it over Luka?
Sure. I think
that's
going to help
right now.
I think it's going to help. I think it's, you know, ultimately with their record, I just sense there's a lot. You could hear it in Steph's voice last night after the game. You know, he wasn't quite ready to totally anoint the Grizzlies. You know, he was basically like, the phrase he used, and he talked about this in regards to the Warriors and the Grizzlies. He's like, you know, ultimately, like, what you verbalize in January doesn't really matter. Like, the playoffs is what matters.
Sure.
And he was saying it in regards to both the Grizzlies and the Warriors. He wasn't, like, trying to, like, he was saying that we still have to prove this new version of us in the playoffs will succeed. And same with the Grizzlies. But you could tell
there's a reverence for Ja.
Yes,
right?
There was
that's
an annoyance. There was
right. I heard it.
Yes, you could see he was like marveling.
Yes.
At how Ja can. He goes, you can't tell which hand he's going to finish with.
Right.
You know, he's so explosive. Like you could. There was no sort of holding off the gas pedal in terms of Ja Morant. Like he was very much a. Okay, this guy's unguardable. Yeah. Like that was basically saying
with the peers, with the media. I think that's where Ja can. Can make the leap over.
Well, to me, we were talking about that, like, to start the show. This is a weird place and a weird space for Memphis sports, because we've always sort of played this role of party crasher, right? Like, we don't belong in Memphis, and whether that's Tiger basketball, oh, you guys had to cheat to get to the Final Four, or, you know, even the Grizzlies back in the grit grind, they had to play a certain type of way to break through, right? This is
mainstream in your face, mainstream.
Where it's like,
the
Grizzlies guard is leading off First Take because he does spectacular things. Like, that's kind of weird. It's like, it's a new thing that we're going to have to adjust to.
It's you know, it's where Milwaukee got with Giannis.
Yep, it is.
It's where
Cleveland got with LeBron back in the day.
Got with LeBron. Oklahoma City got with when they had
Russ and KD.
KD, yep. Russ 100%. And Harden.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
I mean,
San Antonio never got there in terms of like how good the team was. They did,
but
in terms of like being the talk of the sports world, they never got there.
Yeah, San Antonio was not like the team everybody always. It was always can LeBron beat the Spurs? Right, that was always the conversation.
Well, it's just like they're the ultimate team, and like they have a superstar, but he's like whereas Ja's signature move is like the unbelievable dunk or the alley-oop or whatever you want to say. Tim Duncan's was the bank off the glass.
Yeah, off the glass.
You know,
that was his remotely signature. Sexy about it.
But it was awesome.
Yes.
Like, it was in terms of like how good he was and how good those teams were. And then it became later on like their kind of they were the first pace and space team, it felt like. But it, you're right. I mean, it's fascinating to see how it's not just that it's new territory. It's all happened so fast. Like, right. Not in terms of, like, the team become, you know, winning games. Like, they were, they've steadily built to this point in a lot, you know, aside from winning 10 in a row now, and I guess the 19 and 4 streak, but they've been, you know, they've been on an upward trend since they drafted Ja.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the becoming this national story has really, like, basically since Christmas, from that point on, it's just skyrocketed in terms of the recognition and sort of acknowledgement, yes, of where this team is. And, you know, like, ultimately, right now, if you were picking an all, the, you know, because everyone talks about the all-star team, and that's fine, the all-star game. The thing that really determines your status within the game is where you are on the all-NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're right at midseason, the midseason all-NBA team, I still think probably Steph is first-team all-NBA at point guard.
Thought it out.
Ja's second team All-NBA at point guard.
I agree.
Which means he's one of the, certainly one of the 10 best players in the NBA, and I'd argue one of the 6 or 7 best players in the NBA at the midway point of this season. Which is, I mean, think about that. Because there's no Grizzly who's ever been at that point, that status within the NBA.
And that's why. He may not want it, but that's why he's going to win Most Improved. I saw he's like the favorite for it still, because, mm-hmm, because the jump has been so tremendous.
Right. Yeah.
He's gone from like a top 25, top 30 player in the NBA to a bona fide top 10 player. And you could make the case, like, you know, Steph, I'd still put like Steph above him, KD above him, Giannis above him, Jokic.
I looked. The Bulls were 1 in the East when Rose won it. That was the other part about, mm-hmm, it, third year.
I mean, when you
but that's what this is. This jump, he's Rose third year. I mean, yes, that's what you're getting. It may not equal
and to be fair,
MVP,
people now when they look back on that year, LeBron probably should have won MVP that year. Yeah. But you know he had won it a bunch.
Bulls were number one
before,
in the standings.
And but yes, you are correct. And that year, Derrick Rose was, you know, probably one of the 3 or 4 best players in the NBA, mm-hmm, at the very least.
The jump's been crazy.
And that's sort of where Ja is. Like, I just named 4 guys. And then now, I mean, I don't know if there's a, maybe I'm forgetting someone, but like, it feels like maybe Ja's number 5. It just so happens he plays point guard too, so you're probably not going to get on above Steph, because one of the 4 guys above you plays the same position. But like, who else besides the 4 I named this year in the NBA? DeMar DeRozan, maybe. Maybe DeMar DeRozan. Like, your first team All-NBA as of today is probably Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Nikola Jokic. That's probably your first team All-NBA. And then Ja's right there at number 6.
You can put Zach LaVine on there. He's averaging basically the same thing DeMar DeRozan is as the second team with Ja.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you want on that point, right, as long as Ja's on there.
Yeah. But it's
wow.
It's incredible. I mean, think about it.
Like, it's crazy to even contemplate.
That's what we're watching right now through 42 games. And my question will be, this is, you know, they're 20-4. You're not going to, I mean, maybe, you know, I think we'd be foolish at this point to put it past them. But this pace is probably unsustainable.
Well, it has to be. Like you said, you've won 10 in a row.
This pace is unsustainable.
10 in a row. But like going 20-4 or 20-5, like, over 25 games stretch.
I don't know. Like, it's the NBA. And yeah, like with the NBA, there is just this natural volatility, right? Mm-hmm. Guys come in and out of line, everything like that. But I don't know, man. Like, if you got Ja and Desmond Bain.
20-5, that's a, what is it, 90% pay, 90, no, point, a 90% winning percentage.
Okay, but they could go.
So that's
they
my.
They could go 17-8 in any given 25-game stretch.
And that's my question. What pace the rest of the way does this team settle into? You know, like, mm-hmm, is it a 60, like a 600 winning percentage? Is it 65? Like, they're right now, they're at like a 56-57 win pace for the season.
Right.
And like, you know,
I think 60, to me, 60 feels right to me. Because,
yeah, like, see, yes, yeah. Like, and that puts you at like a 50, that puts you probably at a low 50 win season, which is, which is incredible.
Absurd.
I mean, that was stuff like, that got celebrated around. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
they,
that's
the, and they, it should. I mean, it should get celebrated.
They feel like they have the chance. They have a chance to have the best regular season record a Grizzlies team's ever had.
Which is what, 56?
It's 56.
Yeah.
But it feels like.
Which, by the way, that's crazy. 56? Like, that's amazing.
No, I mean, 60 is means you have a great team.
Exactly.
Like a 1-2 seed team.
Right.
Is a 60-win team.
Yes.
Typically. That and above. And
I think this team can win 60% of its games. Yeah, I think that's absolutely
possible.
Well,
and the thing is, if you look at the schedule, like, it's more backloaded than front-loaded in terms of the quality of team they're playing. Like, they've played a lot of tough games here already. You know, they only have one more game against Golden State left. They still have to play Milwaukee twice, but they've played Brooklyn twice.
Mm-hmm.
They got two against Chicago still. But in general, it's not like they've played a tougher schedule in terms of the quality of teams than they will play the rest of the way. Now,
a lot of them on the road, though, right?
Yes. After this homestand, there are only 15 home games left. After Monday's game against the Bulls, only 15 home games left.
It's been one of the best road teams in the league, though.
Yes, yes. And they're going to get, you know, like, one of the keys, I think, as we're surveying the second half of the year, like, the Dylan Brooks injury is really interesting. It appears they're going to be able to just get by without him because of Zaire Williams, the way he's playing. And it's like they won't really be affected in most games by the fact that one of their best players is out. I do think it's important, when exactly is he back? Because I want, you know, I said this on our show. You want probably, you know, I don't, they said, Woj said three to five weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd be silly to think he's coming back before the All-Star break, which is kind of like February 20th, February 16th. Like, to me, you just want to make sure he's back by the beginning of March so you can get like a month and a half of him back in the lineup with this group. And, you know, because ultimately the lineup you would think they're going to start game one of the first round of the playoffs with, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams, those guys have played, I think, 8 games and 74 minutes together this year. Which, again, to think about what they're doing, knowing that, I mean, like, they haven't even had, like, the team that they view as the ideal, like, the ideal starting lineup to be out there, barely at all.
I mean,
the whole thing, when you take it in totality, is just... it's both stunning and spectacular. Like, it's like, it is incomparable to anything that the Grizzlies have done before as a franchise. Like, I'm not saying they are the best Grizzlies team ever, but one, they have a chance to be, okay? And it's only, like, kind of the beginning. But two, they're just doing it, as you sort of alluded to, really differently than those grit and grind teams did. Not to say one's better than the other, but it's just to show you that.
Well, I mean, like,
it's certainly
like
this is going to be an experience. It already has been, and it will continue to be.
You know, not to take it there, but, you know, like, your first time, it's always special. You know what I'm saying? For a lot, like, it's special in a way. That was the first time the Grizzlies won playoff games, won a playoff series. I mean, think about your first time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then you find the next, and it's better than the first time. It's better.
Some people
marry their high school sweetheart.
See, that's a mistake. Well, that's a mistake.
I would bet most of them would argue, you know, not that no.
No, I mean, I think, well, somebody's got to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a whole world out there. You married this much. You met at 14?
You're right. You can marry your high school sweetheart, but it is probably foolish not to at least see what else is out there.
Like, you don't
at some
know
point
what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how that Grizz run felt. And it was great. Like, you know, you had Barbecue Fest. You had, like, it was like the first time we had ever experienced that stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we got there again as a city, it's different.
With a superstar.
Now. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's
that
not
looks
just.
Like he can do anything.
It's not, oh, we're swooping in, we're breaking through. It's like, oh, we might just win this thing. If you could legitimately feel that way.
No, and the question is, like, you talked about it in the opening segment when I was driving in here. I heard you, Jason. Like, part of their reason for their success is they play really hard, and they have this great depth, and like you could see it even last night, like, you know, the Warriors, and this happens frequently, like we're just like, what the hell?
It's like, this? We got to do this tonight. They're going this hard against these dudes.
What the hell?
The Lakers doing that. Brooklyn doing that.
Yeah. And how that transfers over to the playoffs will be interesting to me, mm-hmm. because ultimately, like, you could have the best. Like, I think the Grizzlies might have the best 10 through 15 on their roster, you know, in terms of numbered, you know, the 10th guy on the roster, yeah. 15th guy on the roster, maybe the best in the league. Well, none of those guys are going to play in a playoff series. You know what I mean? Like, only sure. 7, 8, 9 guys mm-hmm. are going to play in a playoff series.
That's true.
And so,
that is a difference.
Everyone gives an F in the playoffs.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And it's already turned up, to your point.
That's why you are hesitant to try to make this regular season victory. You're hesitant to extrapolate, which I understand. Yeah. I do understand, because it is a different notch.
What I think they've proven is that they are capable of making a dramatic run in the playoffs.
Like, looks like it.
And that, to me, makes them a contender.
They're top 10 in defense now, Mark. They were at 30th. They're 10th now with this rise, because they've been first since late November.
They are a contender because, like, I would phrase them as this. I think they are a Western Conference contender. Like, do I ultimately see them making the NBA Finals? I think that feels like a stretch. Mm-hmm. But I think they could get to the Western Conference Finals, and then, well, who the hell knows if you get there? You know, like, I think you can see a scenario with if the bracket sets up correctly for them, or where, you know, they can beat Dallas in a playoff series.
Yeah.
They can give Golden State a run for their money.
I feel real good about Dallas.
You know,
I mean, that roster doesn't come close to
yours. They can beat let's say they jump Utah or the 3 seed. They could beat the Lakers, I think. You know, I think the Lakers would be favored, but I would like the Grizzlies' chances too. Like,
I hope that I am so lucky.
Again, Lakers, if everyone's healthy.
I think he's selling them a little short with Anthony Davis back and healthy. I think that's still a formidable big if with the Lakers.
Would I have that fortune to where I can bet on the Grizzlies against the Lakers in a postseason series where I'm getting the Grizzlies plus. Like, I pray that I have that fortune.
Real quick. If there's one Mark Giannotto key to victory tonight for the Tigers down at UCF, what would it be?
I think it's going to be really interesting. I think Memphis, and I don't mean this to come off as taken away from the performance against Cincinnati, because it was really impressive how they took all those, you know, like, ultimately, I don't know if Cincinnati will play a better offensive game than they played in that game against Memphis the rest of the year.
I agree.
And Memphis took every shot and came back, and Tyler was spectacular. Amani played well. And ultimately, what I think is going to be interesting in this game is, one, UCF is a better three-point shooting team than Cincinnati, and they have bigger guards. They're one of the few teams in the league that has bigger guards. And I think Tyler, part of Tyler's success the other day, and Amani's success, is that Cincinnati did not have big guards.
Mm-hmm.
And Lester, too. Memphis really took advantage of that. Not necessarily like Amani was able to shoot over those guards. Mm-hmm. Tyler, his height, you know, the height differential wasn't as great as it normally is. Lester was taking those guys, you know, was kind of bullying them a little bit in the second half. UCF's got bigger guards. I think this is going to be a grimy game. It always is with UCF and Johnny Dawkins' team. But it's going to be like a grimy game. The UCF's tough. I don't know how talented they are at times. You know, they shoot a lot of threes. They play like a more modern style. But they're not a great three-point shooting team, but they're better than Cincinnati was statistically. So I will be curious, like, you know, how does Tyler perform tonight? How, you know, can Amani replicate that performance with what I think is going to be a better defender on him?
Sure.
A tougher matchup on him. You know, does DeAndre play? I don't know.
Doesn't sound like it.
I'd heard it was doubtful at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, but ultimately,
it sounds like they're going to get him back, which they have to.
What you've seen in their recent games, though, is their formula is, they can make threes, and they made a good amount of threes against Cincinnati. They dominated the paint in that game.
Absolutely.
They got a lot of second chance point. Like, it's going to be one of those types of games again. Like, I don't know if this is going to get – I don't know if UCF can score 80 points like Cincinnati did in that game the other day.
Yep.
But, like, they're going to want to – like, I think this feels like a game in the 60s that I think is going to be tight, just like the Cincinnati game.
I would run UCF off that line. You cannot – Cincy was getting whatever it wanted, it felt like.
Memphis can't depend on –
Cincy made some shots – made some – there were – there half the shots were – you're right. I think the three-point defense was a little shaky.
Once Davenport's already hot, like, you got to get out there.
Yeah. Half of them – it was at a certain point, though, towards the end
of
the game –
some of them were crazy.
Davenport was just hitting ridiculous shots. And they were – you know, part of it, though, is I would say this to defend, like, their defense, whatever. I mean, that was one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country. I think part of your strategy was maybe, well, let's let them take some of those threes because they only make 29% of them coming into this game.
Right.
But
that'd
you're
been
right.
a team Once, that's good when finding identifying the guy you need to stop. And, you know, that's sort of been Penny's
but
calling
it's a,
card.
But it's a big game tonight. I mean, they can real – it can – it seems like they are picking up steam and they are finding more of an identity.
I hope even you're right.
Even with all these guys.
That.
And you win this game tonight, it
That's
feels like you feel like you really got some momentum going. Yeah.
4-1 the league it would be, I think.
Then you could easily go to 6-7.
Then you got a bad ECU team.
Hate that place, though.
It's a tough place to
talk about nasty games. It always
Yeah, nasty good. Game. And just it's just like an awful. The Greenville, North Carolina is like not a pretty place.
And then you have SMU.
But then you have a nice break. And you would think and hope that you're getting DeAndre back for that
SMU
game
on Thursday.
It's a week from tomorrow. So you got eight more days before that SMU game at home. And it feels like you can really pick up some steam as you move forward here.
Hope that's the case.
Mark, man, appreciate
that. You're always picking up steam.
I guess so.
Even with the kids and everything, the job, the columns, you're getting it all done, brother.
I'm trying. It's been a busy week. It's gonna be a busy few months. Like
That's right.
I think like what last night and then we have it's like to this 48 hours or whatever 72, 96 hours if you go back to Sunday is kind of like the start of what it's gonna be like the next few months. It's gonna be like big game after big game.
Do you have a Tiger team that's sort of figuring it out here and making this run to
March?
Because
the Grizzlies are rolling and maybe now the Tigers are rolling.
Yeah, we're gonna demand you write Grizzlies columns with the way this team's playing.
I know. I'm gonna have to find some any babysitters out there who want to help out. Calling all babysitters.
Yeah. All right. We will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Brian Windhorst is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies' win last night. You know, is he willing to do what Mark would not and make it a big picture victory? We'll get into all that with Brian Windhorst at 1:25. Stick around, Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.